Cape Talk.
DIY.
Well, Mr. DIY himself is back in studio with us, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Always lovely to have you with us, and welcome to your dog Enzo too.
Thank you.
Got to give him an honorary mention, seeing as he's joined the show. It's a specialist segment today looking at air conditioning, which means we also have two specialist guests with us in studio, Peter Hill and Tristan Abbey from Mechanical Cooling Maintenance. Great to have you both with us.
Thank you, Bubba.
Listeners, if you are contemplating putting in air conditioning, if you've already got it and you're having problems with it and you want to ask a question or get some advice, you are very welcome to pick up the phone and give us a call on 021-446-0567 or ask a question by a voice note to 072-567-1567. While we wait for the first couple of calls to come through, Peter, why don't you tell us a bit about the business?
I had a previous business that I sold in Johannesburg and worked out my restraint of trade. I sold it to an American multinational that I used to work for prior to disinvestment, and soon realized that your best investment is your own business. So I decided to start in the game again and formed Mechanical Cooling Maintenance in 1999 in Cape Town.
You've been at it since about 1973, I believe.
I've been in it for 45 plus years.
Okay, so that's about as expert as we're going to get, for sure. Now, obviously, you specialize in air conditioning and refrigeration systems. Any sort of scale do you do from household to large industrial?
We specialize in marine. And we do a lot of big, heavy, dirty, and broken. And that's what we really like. We like to get our teeth into interesting projects, engineering challenges. Mm. But the territory covers the small households, the luxury apartments and houses, shopping centers, hospitals, university, laboratories, right across the board.
So any space you can imagine, you can cool it. Okay.
And we deal a lot with the oil and exploration companies, especially off West Africa. And we keep them cool, because without cooling running on those rigs, they don't operate at all, because they need cooling to cool the thrusters so they can keep them in place. They've got to cool down the transformer rooms, and keep the last thing is people comfort, because it's 45 degrees and 95% humidity.
Sure. Really interesting environment to work in. Kind of reminds me of our room downstairs with all our mechanical equipment that's kept like a fridge. It's a really important part of a lot of businesses, keeping the equipment cool.
Yeah, it's mandatory. I know servers are getting cleverer and cleverer, and the technology, especially in server rooms where temperatures are much higher, and they've gone to hot aisle and cold aisle containment and working at higher temperatures. But, energy in equals energy out.
Okay, so that's to set the scene. We have somebody who is equipped to answer your questions on whatever scale of system you are looking at or dealing with, particularly that includes households. So if you have a problem with your aircon at home or are thinking of putting one in, give us a call. I think it might be worthwhile, Peter, starting with a very simple layman's explanation of how an air conditioning system actually works, because I think a lot of people maybe don't know that.
Mm. Yeah, it's relatively simple. It was first invented in 1902 by Willis Carrier, and he invented it for a printing press where they needed to dehumidify the operation to make it work correctly. Mm-hmm. A knock-on of that was that it was used in the old theaters for the movies, the black and white movies. The people were complaining they were hot. They didn't want to go to the movies in the afternoons, and cooling was soon put into those areas.
That's
invented
amazing.
In America, of course.
Okay, so started out with the printing press, went into the movie theaters, and anyone who's ever been to a theater where the air conditioning wasn't working will know exactly why that was so necessary. The physics of it all, I mean, what is the basic concept of what is happening in an air conditioning system?
Well, you're dealing with thermodynamics and physics, and two basic laws of physics govern the world. The energy can neither be created nor destroyed, and it goes from a source of high potential to low potential. And therefore, you cannot get anything for free. You've got to put in to get out. So the refrigeration cycle, relatively simple, in simple terms, you raise the temperature and pressure of a gas by a compression device, which leaves you with a hot gas at high temperature. You then condense it to a hot liquid where air is rejected to the atmosphere. And then it goes through an expansion device where it changes state and goes to a cold gas. And that cold gas then absorbs the heat and goes back to the compressor to start the cycle again. So you don't put cold in, you take heat out, and you reject heat from wherever you are.
Now, why is it that many people, if you say air conditioning unit, will immediately associate that with condensation, with water dripping out the corner of the unit and hopefully being caught in a bucket for reuse somewhere? Where's that coming into the process?
Well, that's because you are dehumidifying the air. The air has a gram per kilogram of humidity, moisture in it. And when you lower the temperature, you're lowering the dew point, and you get to a point where you're changing state and water is condensing out of the air. So the condensed water is then produced.
Okay, thanks for the explanation, Peter. And if you've just joined us, my guests are Peter Hill and Tristan Abbey from Mechanical Cooling Maintenance, as well as our regular DIY expert, Angela D'Ambrosio. Tristan, can you talk us through the big considerations for somebody who wants to, is perhaps thinking about putting in an aircon unit in their home? What do they need to factor into the decision-making process?
I think they need to really look at, you know, what is it that they want to cool down? What is the function that they want the aircon for? Whether you want just cooling, you want cooling or heating. And factors like, you know, the size of the area that you want to cool down plays a very big role in the size of the aircon that you will require.
Okay. In terms of expense, I know that there's a huge variation in the kinds of units that are available. You get some super expensive, lots of bells and whistles. You get some very basic units. What's there in the very expensive ones that isn't there in the more standard unit?
Well, the top of the range units are inverter units. They are more economical on electricity. They use between 30 to 40% less energy. They're also a heck of a lot quieter than normal units because of the variable speed of the gases and the fans. And you're probably paying 40% more for an inverter type unit.
Will it pay for itself in the long run, though, in terms
yes,
of the electricity
does.
Use?
In electricity usage, yeah. You will get a payback. Probably about 5 years
okay.
would be a good payback period against a normal constant speed unit.
Our first question on the SMS line from Mike, and this is a great one. How do I keep geckos out of my aircon? This is in a residential setting. He says, I've tried a sock of mothballs. That didn't work. We've already replaced the outside unit twice, with a replacement board being the same price as the original unit. So it's quite a big problem for Mike.
That's a difficult one because the gecko is looking for heat.
Yep.
He's going to go and warm himself, and he's going to find a nice warm PC board that's going to keep his tummy warm. So I think you need to look in the gardening section of what repels insects. They're probably a good start.
We've actually got a pest expert coming in for this very segment in a couple of weeks' time, Mike. So I'll be sure to keep your question and ask her when she is with us. I can't remember the exact date. I think it's sometime in early August.
Another big contributor are ants.
Yeah.
Ants also are very, very destructive when they get into a unit.
How do they destroy it? Is a matter of interest.
It's conduction of electricity across a PC board, and it'll blow because they build an ant's nest inside there. And it's moist. It's got water in it. It tracks.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Lots to consider here. Tristan, can you talk to us a little bit about management of humidity? Particularly, I mean, it's not so much of a problem here in Cape Town, but for somebody in Durban, for example, that becomes a bigger factor in terms of installing a system. How can an air conditioner be used as a humidity controller?
I think Peter's probably the better person to answer on the technical side there.
Okay. Well, the first point of cooling in that instance is that you're going to dehumidify the air. So what you're going to start doing is you're going to start taking latent heat out of the air before you get to a point where you start taking sensible heat out. So you lower the humidity of the air, first of all, take that out by means of condensation of water, and then the air will be drier and cooler and blow into the environment. Because the air circulates around and is drawn back into the unit, the process continues, so lowering the humidity.
Okay.
The other mechanism to lower humidities is by heating. So in close control computer room units, they have both heating and cooling to keep humidities controlled.
Okay. A question on the WhatsApp line from Nash asking, why do aircon guys always advise you not to go below 21 degrees, especially on hot days? Do they always advise that?
Is this Nash that I know? It could be.
Okay.
The reason for that is that your refrigerant temperature is going to go below zero. And you're then going to start forming ice on the coil, which can ice up. And the liquid can flood back to the compressor, wash out the oil, which will cause catastrophic damage. So generally, as a rule, people go full-scale cooling, full-scale heating. They don't get to a compromise.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but it's a human tract. If you go into a hotel room, you'll find the thermostat set on whatever the person's preference was.
Okay, so in general, what's a good sort of temperature to aim for that is not going to put that kind of stress in?
22 is an ideal temperature with 50% RH, where there's an extensive study done by Ashray in America, and it was found that 22 is a midpoint, And if you keep an office environment or a home environment between 20 and 24 degrees C, you're going to keep everybody relatively happy.
Please someone send that as a voice note to John Matham, who likes the studio to be like a fridge. Now we have a technical reason to complain. Thanks. We are chatting to Peter Hill and Tristan Abbey from Mechanical Cooling Maintenance. If you've got a question about anything to do with air conditioning systems, give us a call on 021-446-0567 or do what Sarah's done. Send us an SMS asking, is it cheaper to keep the aircon running continuously or to turn it on and off as and when you're using the room?
Well, if you're going to be in the room, you're going to be occupying it, then it's far cheaper to keep it running because it's going to get to the desired temperature and then cycle.
Okay.
So stopping and starting is not going to will give you extremes at either end of the temperature scale. So I'd recommend keep it running.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. Freddie, I'm glad you asked this because we hear this often in our office environment. We're quite a large team in an open plan office environment. And Freddie's comment is, I'm convinced the air conditioning unit at work is making me sick because it's circulating all the office germs. His question is, are there any preventative filters that can be put into a system to stop that happening?
Yeah, Freddie's quite correct. The air conditioning unit is a method of transporting air which has got airborne contaminants. So if they are around, they're going to be transported. In maintenance of the air conditioning at least twice or four times a year, the indoor coil, the evaporator, should be cleaned with a chemical which will make sure that germs and those type of things are taken away from the system. And if the drains are kept clean, it also stops things like Legionella in systems.
That sounds gross. Angelo, you want to comment?
You remember the question we had about the dirt in the pipe? That was last week on the air conditioning, or the 2 weeks ago. We couldn't remember.
Okay.
Someone asked
refresh
us about
my memory.
The,
okay.
Someone asked about the dirt and the water in the pipe. And that's what happens. Obviously, it's circulating the whole time, and it's getting dust and dirt, and then the water's sitting with it, and it forms that black, gunky, gooey
stuff.
Yes. And, of course, that's prime for...
For all kinds of allergies.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, okay, obviously maintenance and cleaning out of the system on a regular basis is one way to stop that. Freddie, you can wear a face mask to work if you're really worried.
There are duct cleaning companies that go around and they sanitize ducting. You can use a sanitizing chemical, which comes from a fogging device, which can be fed into the system, and it goes through the ducting. That obviously you do it after hours when there's nobody there, and that sanitizes and keeps all the nasty things away.
So, Freddie, ask the accountant in your company to consider building in some more regular duct cleaning by the sounds of things. Thanks for your question. Right, Thomas is on the line from Cape Town. Thomas, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, Peter. This is Thomas, the tank engine.
Hello, Thomas. How are you doing, my good friend?
That's a new one.
I'm good, thank you. Pippa, the reason I'm calling is that Peter's company installed two air conditioning units for me at my home.
Okay.
Which I've used for the last 2 years. Rather than for air conditioning, I actually use them more for heating in the winter, as they proved to be really effective and cost-effective. And I thought Peter might explain to you why that is, but I can say for sure that it's been an excellent investment in our home.
Well, Thomas, thank you for that feedback. That's a really interesting one. Why would you buy an aircon unit to heat a space, Peter?
Well, it's the cheapest form of heating that you're going to get. At a factor of three, for every 1 kilowatt of heating produced, you're going to use 1/3 of a kilowatt of electrical energy. The heat is dissipated by convection not so much conduction, and the hot air from the condenser is transferred to the air, which then transfers to the environment. And because the condensing temperatures are in the region of 50 to 60 degrees, the air comes out the unit warm and rapidly warms up an area. So affectionately known as the warm blowy thing or the cold blowy thing.
Thank you, Thomas, for letting us know about the warm blowy thing to add to the conversation. Barris is back from Blowbig Stand with a question about air conditioning. Barris, good afternoon. I think we might just have answered it for you.
Just two quick questions. The one is in summertime, our aircon works pretty much flat out. But in winter, we hardly ever use it. Is it kind of, do I actually need to keep it running just to get the oil turning around? And the second one is that I've got the old-style air conditioners. Will these be phased out over time, or will they still be running parallel with the inverters?
No. Look, you don't need to. It's good to test and check that your unit's running. Make sure both heating and cooling. We, as a country, are known as a developing country and are signatory to both the Montreal Protocol and the Kyoto Protocol, which is for the phase out of R22 CFCs and HCFCs. The majority of the equipment that's been sold in this country over the years has been R22 equipment. And since 2014, no more R22 equipment is allowed to be imported into the country or sold. There's also a phase out of 2030 for R22. The amount's becoming less every year. So in short, to answer your question, yes, you're in for a new air conditioner, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
Baris, thanks for the call. That's really interesting. I mean, it speaks to the components of the system. Let's talk a little bit about what you said. It's compressing gas. What gas is that, and does that gas have to be replenished from time to time? How does it work?
No, gas should never be replenished. That's where we talk about the accredited gas practitioners. Every company that employs somebody that works within refrigeration should have their technicians certified, and they should be card-carrying as an accredited gas practitioner. So it's their responsibility to look after the environment to make sure we're not releasing environmentally harmful gases to make the ozone hole bigger than it actually is. So the refrigerants we're using at the moment are ozone-friendly, and they're non-ozone-depleting. So in domestic air conditioners, we're looking at R410 mostly, but we're moving to new refrigerants, R600 and R32, which are flammable refrigerants. So there's a whole new science coming out. There's training. We're training the technicians how to work with flammable refrigerants. Mm. The tools are different. The techniques are different. And it's up to the companies to ensure that their technicians are certified and legal, most of all.
It's one of Angelo's passion projects is health and safety in the workplace. And Angelo, I'm sure a few people are going, ooh, is that safe? New flammable gases.
You know, you need to do training. If your staff aren't trained, then they shouldn't be working. And I think that's essential. Mm. You know, one has to ask the questions when you are using a company that is installing air conditioning, for example. Are they using the latest technology, and are they staff, or are they trained? Because if they're not trained, then it's like installing something almost illegally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you check whether the business you're using is properly accredited?
Very, very simple. You log on to the SAQCC website. You go and have a look at people registered under the Pressure Equipment Regulations Act, and you'll find they'll either be a Category 0, Category A, B, or C. They vary in categories, with Category 0 being that you can handle and work with refrigerants, mm-hmm. store them, do them. Your Category A, the person can then charge systems and do more. And the Category B will allow them to work on larger systems than Category A. And Category C is generally an inspector or a designer in the systems. Now, the Category Bs, people generally have to have a trade certificate in order to get a SAQCC certification. So it's encouraging the people to get their trades, get their papers in order, mm-hmm. work responsibly. We've got one environment. Let's look after it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Pat. Going back to Freddie's question about the germs in the air conditioning system, Pat tells me Samsung aircons have a special coating that kills germs and bacteria, so ultimately provides a healthier environment. They have a unit that kills viruses as well. Are you familiar with that technology?
Yes, they call it the virus doctor. It's a coating of silver. And they have a filtration system which filters out airborne contaminants. And with their tests that they've done, they reckon that they are getting a better quality air out of the unit than their competitors are.
Okay. Pat, thanks for flagging that for us. Let's talk a little bit about costs. Obviously, the cost of the system you put in is going to depend on the size and the model that you go for and whether you go for all these coatings and filtrations, etc. But what's the sort of bare minimum you could expect to pay for a good quality system in an average household?
Well, if you looked at a room 5 by 4 meters, you're going to need a unit of approximately 3.5 kilowatts in capacity. So looking at a high-end unit that's an inverter, that's going to give you energy savings. It's going to have a reputable brand, good warranty service backup. You'd be looking anywhere between 19 and 23,000. Okay. That depends on the length of pipe run, how many holes you got to drill, do you need to put scaffolding up, et cetera.
Okay.
A lot of people do get sucked into major chain stores that'll bring in a batch of grey import, put it on there, and they'll sell it not far away from what the contractors are buying from the suppliers. So they're putting it out there in the market and expecting it to be installed for what the salesman tells them, that he'll get an installer to do it for 900 rand.
Mm.
Well, it doesn't work that way, because the guy's probably not certified, not licensed. And if he's not registered with SAQCC, he's not going to be able to issue you with a certificate of compliance, which is a legal requirement.
Okay, so ultimately you get what you pay for at the end of the day. Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, they have been educated, they are kept up to speed, but every year you get the same thing happening with the chain stores.
I'd also like to add, you know, there's a lot of piping that goes through into the wall, etc. And a lot of times the guys don't even consider the waterproofing aspect of it. You know, drill a hole into the wall, you need to be able to seal it. You know, so you need to have someone who understands both the aircon side and that
the
side.
The installation, you know, side as well.
It's
okay.
Vitally important. So for someone to do something for 900 Rand, I promise you, you're getting the bare minimum.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it really has to be done properly. And there's a lot of things to consider. So
thanks, Angela, for that. Okay.
Also the right materials, because the R410A units work at a higher pressure, and they use a different thickness copper tubing to the units that work with R22, for instance.
Okay.
So you have to pick the right materials for the right refrigerant.
Right person and materials for the right job, absolutely. Cynthia, I'm smiling at you because I'm sure many of our listeners will relate to your comment. I wish aircons had switches for on, off, hot and cold, and a dial. These silly remotes are the bane of my life. That's where a lot of people struggle with the system, is in operating the remote, not the system itself, Peter.
Yeah, they are difficult. Cold is a snowflake. Hot is the sun. Fan looking bigger in blocks means a higher fan speed. And there is a time function. If you get familiar with your cell phone, there is instructions for you to get familiar with your remote control.
Okay, so it's worth doing some research. If you don't understand the remote, Cynthia, perhaps try Googling the model number as well. I would bet there are YouTube videos demonstrating it, for example. You can find anything online these days.
There's also a how-to website. Sorry, Tristan. There's a how-to website. You can go there. They'll tell you how to use a remote control or an aircon control. So, I mean, you could do that.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. Tristan?
I think also on remote controls, if you know, your remote control doesn't come on, check the batteries before saying it don't work.
Yeah, always a good way to start. I remember the computer maintenance guy who said, have you checked that the system is actually switched on at the wall? You'd be amazed how often it's a simple thing like that. I think we can squeeze in one last question, which has come in as a voice note. Let's take a listen. If it wants to play for us. It doesn't seem to want to play for us, so let's leave that, shall we? Several people suggesting mothballs to get rid of geckos. Mike, who sent that message, has already tried that, a sock full of mothballs, and said it didn't work. Is that a solution you've heard of before?
No, I haven't heard of mothballs, although they do. The smell is quite bad.
Yeah.
I think more an insect repellent would be something to look for. Yeah.
Okay. Before we run out of time, Mike, I'd love to leave our listeners with some contact information. If we haven't managed to answer their question now and they still would like to get in touch with Mechanical Cooling Maintenance, how do they do that?
By phoning our office number, 021-5566-551, and you can select an option for service or option for accounts, and you'll get through to Tristan, who's very helpful. And we'll try to interpret what your needs and requirements are.
Thanks for joining us to interpret the listeners' questions today. We've been talking to Peter Hill and Tristan Abbey from Mechanical Cooling Maintenance. Great to have you both with us.
Thank you, Pippa. Thanks very much.
And as always, Angela, thank you for your contribution.
I've been learning so much tonight. I've just been quiet and listening. It's been amazing. Thank you very much.
Happy to be part of your education. Yeah. Chat in 2 weeks.